Good morning. Today we use the office of prime for our devotion. Please turn to page 108 and join me in the versicles and the confession of sin. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning is taken from St. Paul's first letter to young Timothy, the pastor, the second chapter, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. So many of the events of Holy Week, which we will celebrate next week in the church year, so many of those events of Holy Week and things that we hear in the readings during our Lord's Passion are just filled with such rich symbolism. We think about the lamb of the Passover lamb and the Passover celebrated by Christ with his disciples that Maundy Thursday night, how Jesus takes those leftover elements, he being the very Lamb of God, and giving that sacred meal of the Lord's Supper. We think about the release of Barabbas by Pilate. What a powerful symbolic thing that is in that historical event, that here one who's so guilty is released and allowed to go free, and Christ has to go and be crucified. The crowning of our Lord Jesus with thorns, the opening up of the graves when Christ dies on the cross and people rising out of their graves, the darkness that takes place at the time of Jesus' death, all of these different events that actually physically happened in history around and surrounding the death of Christ has such powerful, rich imagery to them. And I often wonder, are there other things that are included in the Gospels that we don't get, that are maybe going to be finally understood by us when we get to heaven? I always wonder, is there some symbolism to the guy who runs away naked? I don't know. That's always been a hard one for me to figure out. But maybe in heaven we'll say, oh, now I see the significance of that. But maybe nothing is more packed with beauty and symbolism for us than the event that takes place in the temple when the curtain is torn in two. We're told that curtain was put in there during the time of the erection of the temple, and it took 200 priests to put it into place. Just think of that. 400 hands, we assume, to hang that curtain in place. It was as thick as a man's hand, so whatever that is, about 5 inches wide, how heavy that was. And it hung there in the temple as a visible monument, you might say, to the problem that humanity has, that we, because of our sins, have been separated from God. And it was fitting that people put it up, because God isn't the one that erected that wall between us and him. Sometimes we maybe think of our relationship to God, and we think, well, this distance between us and God, why doesn't God do something about it, as if we kind of blame God for the fact that man has now become so distant from him. We're the problem. We're the ones that put the wall up. We're the ones that erected the barrier. It was our hands and our mouths and our minds and the evil inside of us. That's what put the curtain up between us and a holy God. So how beautiful a picture it is now that our Lord Jesus, the great high priest, just like that high priest of old had to go and stand one day a year and enter into that special holy of holies, that now our Lord Jesus, as he goes and dies on the cross, is the one that at the moment of his death splits that curtain in two and tears a hole in that barrier wall between sinful man and a holy God. What a beautiful symbolic picture that is in that event. It's hard to think of a better picture of the mediating work of Christ, who stands there now as our mediator. There was an ancient pastor by the name of John Chrysostom, Golden Mouth, they called him, such a good preacher, that he commented on this text. Listen to what he says. A mediator ought to join in fellowship both parties between whom he is mediating. But if he should join only one of them in fellowship but be separated from the other, he could no longer be called a mediator. And so, unless Christ were a participant in the nature of the Father, he certainly could not be a mediator, since he would be separated from the substance of the Father. But because he was the intermediary of the two natures, both divine and human, he appeared as the participant in both. You see, for the curtain to be torn, the curtain that people erected, that we erected by our sin, for the curtain to be torn, it had to be done from the side of heaven. It had to be done by a miraculous event that God himself would do in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, there is now a hole in that wall of sin through which we may now approach God. Peace has been established. There is now a point of reconciliation because of the work of our Savior. St. Paul applies this, the work of the tearing of the curtain, so beautifully in the book to the letter to the Romans when he says this: having been justified through faith in Christ, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. Those are great words. We have peace with God, and we now have access to God because of the work of the Son of God. And so mediating and peacemaking, if you will, is really at the heart and core of the Christian faith. In fact, you maybe don't think of yourself this way, but that's what you are as a child of God through faith in Christ. You are a torn curtain person. We are the torn curtain people. We've benefited from that, and we carry that very message into the world. Every time that we stand up in our churches and confess Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world who shed his blood for all of us, every time we do that, we are making peace between God, a holy God, and sinful man. Every time that we give our offerings to support the work of missions and to spread the ministry of God's word in this world, every time that takes place in our lives, we are peacemakers. We are torn curtain people that are spreading the message of what happened in the temple that day. Every time that we sit down and explain the gospel to someone, every time that we invite one of our friends to come to church with us on a Sunday morning or to chapel, every time that we try to help somebody better understand the truths of God's saving word, we are torn curtain people. We are peacemakers on behalf of heaven. And every time in human relationships that we try to make peace between maybe a couple of friends, or maybe in our families, or maybe we come and just announce forgiveness to somebody because of something they've done against us, every time that happens in the lives of God's faithful, we are representing that great event of the tearing apart of that curtain. By God's grace, we truly are the torn curtain people. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Please join me in the responsory. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty, order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.